open to faith, but you don't maybe have one for yourself, hey, welcome to church. We're going to be in a story in the Old Testament that I hope is going to speak to you. And I want you to think about this. In particular, again, if you're here and you're not yet following Jesus or you're open to faith, but you're not engaged, I want you to think about this as we go through it today. What is worthy to be at the top of your scale and why? Who is it? What is it? And why is it worthy? I want you to think about that. For every single one of us who is following Jesus, I also want you to think about that question. Because I think it's really, really important in all of our lives to understand who or what that could be. And so today's story continues to guide us to grow in godliness. And this Sunday, we've already heard lots of stories. And in the midst of what hasn't been spoken today, there are also quiet stories. Like today, there is somebody who is carrying a secret burden. You're carrying it, nobody knows but you. There's a marriage in this room. I'm not like pointing anyone out. I'm just saying in the law of averages, there's a marriage in this room that's unraveling. There are parents who are struggling to connect with their teens. There are young adults who are writing exams and you're about to graduate, but when you think about the future, you're filled with uncertainty. Yet the Holy Spirit desires to use all of our stories to help others trust God, which is what you've heard today in specifically Terry's story, but in every story across from child to adult. You know, today's biblical story that we're in is still guiding us thousands of years later. And how many of you know that adversity comes in different sizes? So there's lowercase adversity, there is uppercase adversity, and then as the kids say, there is all caps adversity. There's lots of different adversity in our stories. And for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all caps today, okay? It's big, it doesn't get bigger. But here's what's true. The size of the adversity doesn't change the integrity of the principle. The same thing that they have learned way back is what they are standing in all caps adversity, or in significant adversity, big challenge adversity. What they learned when it was really, really small is the same principle that they're standing in today. The size of the adversity changes, yes, but it doesn't change the integrity of the principle, or it doesn't change the step of the principle that they're to trust. In their story, there's this king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar whose influence was authoritative. So in other words, his influence was different than others. It had authority. It was high in their lives. And so again, for you, the question is, who holds right now authoritative influence in your story? Do you know who that is? Do you know what that is? It's important. It could be a boss, that their authoritative influence can affect your career. It could be a professor, that their authoritative influence can determine whether the grade that you get or whether or not you engage. It could be a parent, whose words speak comfort over your life, or others whose words sow insecurity into your identity. It could be a spouse whose words again, or whose life it brings you this sense of calm and peace or turmoil. It could be a friend. It could be people that you don't even know online who are allowing to shape what you think most about God. It could be people, again, that you don't even know who are in a place of authoritative influence in your story. It's helpful for all of us to discern who that might be. Because for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, here's what it says. King Nebuchadnezzar, this authoritative influence in their life, he made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth was 6 cubits. Turn to the person beside you and say, "What's a cubit?" Did you say Q-Bert? No, that was an 80s video game. So he set it up on the plain of Dura. We're not going to be doing that in the next two services by your response. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded." Everyone say, "You are commanded."
You are commanded.
That's not an option. "O peoples, O nations, and languages." Does this sound like the book of Revelation? In an inferior way, "that when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. All caps adversity. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the, one more time, horn and pipe and lyre and trigon and harp and bagpipe and every other kind of music, including DJs, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So what began in jealousy has grown into anti-Semitism here. What began as a private jealousy now is beginning to grow over the province of Babylon. They're jealous about that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, what they're being accused of is malicious. The accusation is coming from malicious intent, but what they're actually saying is true. So Nebuchadnezzar created a gold image. Watch. A created person creates something, and then also adds to the created thing cultural pressure for compliance. You and I live in a world where created individuals create stuff, and then they create cultural pressure for compliance. Thousands of years ago, same stuff. Now in our day, I don't think it's going to be a king, and I don't think it's going to be a golden statue, but you're going to face someone with authoritative influence who's going to create something that will seek to press on the place that God holds in your life. And how we respond to this stuff either grows us in the fruit of the Spirit, or we grow in the flesh. The Bible paints these two pictures, not three. We either growing the Spirit side, so we abide in Christ, we grow the fruit of the Spirit by abiding in Him. We can't produce it, we abide. He does the work in us. Or we're growing in our flesh, which means that we're abiding in us, we're abiding under other influences, we're abiding in sin, and from it stuff goes. And so if we are growing in the Spirit in your life, not perfectly, but you're going to see more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you could use a little more of that? Three of you. How many of you could use a little more of that? Yes. Me too. Okay, me too. When you leave in the parking lot, remember, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. We and the parking team are doing our absolute best every single week. These are problems that we want, amen? Amen. People coming to church, but let's be Christians inside the church and out in the parking lot as well. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, yes. If you ever come to church 45 minutes late and there's no room in the parking lot and you have to drive home, A, come earlier next week. B, I want you to drive home celebrating. Say, God, would you do a miracle for Life Center and give them land and buildings that they can't yet see? Would you begin to intercede? Would you say, Father, I thank you right now that there is somebody sitting in there that needs to hear your voice. Don't grumble and complain or you're going to be in the wilderness. Pray for who God is ministering to. And we're going to keep working. Okay. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But if it's we're rooted in the flesh, you know what we're going to see? Hatred, bitterness, anxiety, irritability, cruelty, corruption, faithlessness, and recklessness. Those are all the opposites to the fruit of the Spirit. So sometimes to see different in your story, you know what you got to do? You got to dethrone someone. Because they have authoritative influence, and their influence is too big. But here's what I want you to know. Do you know how you dethrone them? You just enthrone God and He does the rest. You don't have to kick them out. You just gotta be careful. Did that actually hurt my hamstring in the back? You don't have to kick them out. You just have to enthrone God. And God does the rest. Don't believe me? This is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Adversity is rising, lines are being tested, and Daniel and his three friends know the Exodus story. It's their family It's their identity. It's their story. God is enthroned, and when God is enthroned, guess what happened in Egypt? Pharaoh is dethroned. When God is enthroned, Pharaoh is dethroned. It says in Exodus 20, and these Hebrew boys know this story inside and out. They have it memorized. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And you shall have no other gods before me. That comes from the book of Deuteronomy. The Ten Commandments, God's command is you shall have no other gods before me. God's command is you shall have no other gods before me. God's command comes before Nebuchadnezzar's command. Nebuchadnezzar commanded, hey, this is what you're going to do. But Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, they have a greater command from a higher authority than Nebuchadnezzar. You shall have no other gods before me. And so for them, it's not a decision. It's a settled thing that they are already trusting. So God's command is you will have no other gods before me. But here's the principle. I am the Lord, your God. Turn the person beside you and say, your God. I am the Lord, your God. It's one thing for them to know the Exodus story. How many of you know you can hear a testimony and then when you go through it, it's not a testimony, it's your story. So they know the Exodus story and now they're living their own Exodus story. It's one thing to know what God has done. It's another thing to trust God in the midst of yours. And this is what's happening. So when you discover what is growing in you, I want you to take one more look this week. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you accurately discern or discover who or what has authoritative influence in my life. And what is it creating? In telling this story, I've often heard it preached, and I love how preachers preach this story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, I first heard it in Sunday school. That's where I first heard it preached. But I love how they tell the story. I love how preachers preach. The one bit of feedback that I would give, though, is in telling this story, we can often rush to the stand of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but their stand was only possible because they knew the place that God held in our lives. It's not what you do. It is where God enthrones that has authority in our story. And so some of us are spinning our wheels, and we're not seeing a lot of change. And again, it's because maybe, maybe, just maybe, God needs to be enthroned so other stuff can be dethroned. It's really, really important. It's not effort, it's authority. Only the Holy Spirit casts out unholy spirit, not my spirit or yours. It's this higher thing going on. The principle is this, that God is and there's no other. This is what they are settled in. God is and there's no other. And now watch how living out this principle, watch what it looks like in their lives. In the book of Daniel, the issue for King Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldeans, and every single king is singular. It's pride. It's pride. If you're reading the book of Daniel with us right now, we're going to go into the book of Hosea next Sunday. We're still going to be in Daniel. We're going to be out of step this season. Don't worry about it. But if join us in HeartStrong because we're going chapter by chapter, and each week and each teacher that's unpacking it is remarkable. I encourage you to join us. But I want you to see, if you reread the book of Daniel, every single person that has a downfall, Daniel, the book of Daniel is written that you will see again and again and again, it's pride, it's pride, it's pride, it's pride. It is allowing something with authoritative influence that is not God to remain in this place and be driven by it. And so again, the book of Daniel, the issue for King Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans is pride. As you can't grow flowers planted in acid, you can't grow godliness from corrosive pride. I want you to see it. A group of friends maliciously accuse, while this other group of friends, so this group of Chaldean friends maliciously accuse Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, while Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are another group of friends that stand firm together. The company you keep matters. Who you allow to influence you matters. And I'm gonna say it again, if you're going to analyze with the Holy Spirit who has influence in your story in 2026, you better include your online activity as well. You have to. You can't just look at in person, you have to look at your online activity as well. All right? These are friends. This is company. This is stuff that we're allowing into our hearts and lives. And so you have one group of friends who their influence causes malicious activity. And then you have another group of friends who their friendship and companionship creates courageous resolve or situational courage, as we talked about last week. And so sometimes, as we're gonna look at next week, like Daniel, sometimes you're standing alone and there's nothing you can do about that. But how many of you know that in Christ, you're never alone? He promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. So while I may feel alone, I may walk into that job interview alone, I may walk into that exam alone, where I might walk into that moment of conflict alone, may I walk into this or that, and I am physically by myself, I am never alone. I am in Christ and the Holy Spirit is in me, which means that I can do two things simultaneously in any and every given moment. I can be fully present with you and communing with the Father simultaneously. God, I need your help. God, I need your strength. God, I am going to lose my mind on them in this moment, but Lord, you have given me love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and self-control. They are eating in a way that is irritating to me, but God, I need you to help me in a way. I am at Costco and people don't walk the right way, you leave your carts in the center of an aisle. You absolute psychopath. What are you doing? We can't get around it. Lord, I thank you that you have given me patience. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to grow in grace. Lord, I thank you that you've just created some people blissfully unaware. God, I want what they have. Turn the person beside you and say, he's talking about you. Okay, I was at Costco and I watched somebody in the aisle. It's one thing to leave your card in the center and like wander off looking like the traffic piling up on either side. No, no. Cart. Watch. Cart followed eyes. Walk. Cart sideways. And I looked and I just said, Lord, make me more like him. Make me more like him. I'm the guy in Costco who's like pressed up against the side, like, I'm sorry. I can't go any further over. I'm sorry. Banging. True Costco story. Okay, I was walking with the cart, going down the aisle with traffic, and this salmon swimming upstream came right in front of me, and she looked at me, and she did this, you move. And Lori said, I like it. She looked and she was like, wow. Really put you in your place there. And I was like, I don't know what happened. All I know is I came under the authority, influence of a higher authority. I just said, yes, ma'am. And I just moved. I appreciated the idea of the answer. Don't clap her. She was in the wrong. Don't you dare. You have sympathy. As I read the next verses, here's what I want you to think about. I don't know if we're going to do that in the next two services either. That may have been unsanctification in my, forget it. We're just going to move on. As we read the next verses, I want you to think about authoritative influence. Here's what I want you to think about. And especially if you don't know Jesus, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about how God treats you. And then I want you to think about how earthly kings treat you. I want you to think about your inherent value and worth and how God treats you. Like God gives you the freedom to worship, whether you'll ever worship him or not, you get to choose. And now I want you to think about every earthly influence. If you do not do what they want to do, will they give you the same freedom? In this story, King Nebuchadnezzar is to be contrasted with Yahweh. Because remember, this is a story about a group of people who have been rebellious to God, which is why they're in Babylon in the first place. Yet God is still in Babylon and he is still at work in their story. God is treating them in a way that they are not treating him, because God forever is good in the midst of our ungoodness. in the midst of our Costco-like behavior, God forever is good. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, commanded, see it again, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true? Which, interestingly enough, if you pin that and go all the way to the story of Jesus, it's one of the questions that Jesus is asked. O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up. So a created thing that creates cultural pressure to bow to it. Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every other kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made. Not God. I've made it. Well and good. Hey, as long as you worship what I worship, we don't have conflict. It's well and good. The moment you don't worship what I worship, we have a problem. But God gives you the freedom to worship, even if who you choose to worship isn't him. How worthy are the authoritative influences in your life? How worthy are they? How do they treat you if you disagree? But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Now listen to the personification of pride. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? Who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? It's the epitome of pride, but it's also a prophetic statement because God is about to go, me. Pretty cool. The singular God who sacrificed his life for you loves you. Listen to me. Even if you never love him back. And God gives you freedom to worship, as I've already mentioned, even if it's not him. But pride, it only loves you to the extent you serve its purposes. In the face of adversity under authoritative influence, what did they do? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I just like to read into that, whether I'm correct or incorrect, that they don't call him king. I like that. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. And as the kids say, what they next say is a pretty baller statement. We have no need to answer you in this matter. What did they just say with words? You ain't at the top of the food chain in our lives. They're not being disrespectful. They're being honest. They're answering why they won't bow with clarity. O King Nebuchadnezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able. Everybody say is able. He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. Do you hear the language of faith? They are absolutely certain that whether God rescues them or in death, King Nebuchadnezzar is not their final authority. God is. So either way, they are going to be set free. They are not living earthly. Their eyes are into eternity. Their worldview is not shaped by birth and death. They had a birth, they have a beginning, but they know that in God, it is a forever thing. He's gonna deliver us out of your hands. We don't know how, but, O King, but if not, if he doesn't rescue us, be known to you, O King, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So their faith isn't in what God is gonna do, their faith is in who God is. It's not in what God's gonna do. They are completely settled. Again, like whether God rescues us or whether we die, doesn't change who God is. And here's all they know. God is everything, you're not. King Nebuchadnezzar, you're not worthy of worship. Why? You're not God. This is what they know. I would summarize it like this. God can, he may not. And if God does not, he still is. Into the fiery furnace they go. And then we read, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and he rose up in haste and he declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four. I see four men unbound walking in the midst. Again, if I was a good preacher, I would have an organ going right now. But I'm still not there yet. But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire. Don't you love that? In the midst of adversity, with Christ, they're just walking around. They're not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. Close, son of God, different than sons of the gods. When there is the fourth one in the fire, God is, and everyone said. But if you get to the book of Hebrews, it says, and you read this hall of faith, it says that it's equally true that when we're being mocked and flogged and imprisoned and in chains and stoned and sawn in two and killed with the sword, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, Jesus is with us and God still is. The principle is there God is and there are no others. Challenges and outcomes, they change, but how many know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? The size of the adversity doesn't change the integrity of the principle. How many of you know that in life or death, God is? In healing or sickness, God is. In provision or loss, God is. In privilege or prejudice, God is. In faithlessness or our unfaithlessness or unfaithfulness, God is. In the mountaintop or the valley, God is. In heaven, God is. In the lake of fire, God isn't. And that is why faith in Jesus is essential, as he alone found us, saved us, and is perfecting us. And so not Nebuchadnezzar then or any authoritative influence today is Alpha or Omega. God alone is. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon. How many of you know that promotion is wonderful? But the unchanging principle is this: God is, and there is no other. God can, he may not, and if God does, he gets the glory. And if he does not, God still is. Who's your authoritative influence, and are they and what they create worthy of worship? For me and this house, God is, and there is no other.